Good morning, my friend. Hope you're doing well. It's going to be a beautiful day. I'm looking out the window and the sun is just starting to lighten up the eastern sky over the North Platte River here, and excited to have a Saturday. Believe it or not, it's kind of a miracle, but I don't have anybody in the hospital right now. So as it currently stands, I don't have to go make rounds this morning, which is really cool. Probably just jinxed myself. I don't believe in jinxes, but probably did. Anyway, yesterday we talked about the Word of God and there's weird scriptures in Ezekiel and Revelation when they talk about eating the Word of God. And today I want to do a little quiet time with you. I got several songs for you. Just do a little meditation on the Word. And I messed up. There's actually one more scripture where the Bible talks about eating the Word of God. I'm going to share that with you. And we're going to get a little bit more into eating the Word of God, feasting on the Word of God, gnawing on it, that Haggah idea. And there's a reason for it. I'll talk to you about it in a minute. But I want you to get the Word of God deep down in your heart, because it's the thing. It'll tie your neuroscience and your faith together. It'll give you some bullets to shoot at the problems that will come along in your life, my friend. And all you have to do is start today.
Hey, are you ready to change your life? If the answer is yes, there's only one rule. You have to change your mind first. And my friend, there's a place where the neuroscience of how your mind works smashes together with faith, and everything starts to make sense. That place is called self-brain surgery. You can learn it, and it will help you become healthier, feel better, and be happier. And the good news is, you can start today.
Thanks, Lisa. Hey, so glad to have you listening today. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and I live in Nebraska in the United States of America with my incredible wife, Lisa, my father-in-law, Tata, and the super pups, Harvey and Lewis. I'm a neurosurgeon and an author, and I'm here to help you harness neuroscience, the power of your brain, faith, the power of your spirit, and good old common sense to help you lead a healthier, better, happier life. Listen, friend, you can't change your life until you change your mind, and I'm here to help you learn the art of self-brain surgery. To get it done, you can get the show notes and more at drleewarren.podbean.com. That's drleewarren.podbean.com. And if you like the show, please subscribe so you never miss an episode, and tell your friends about it. If you tell two or three friends this podcast was helpful to you, imagine how much good we can all do around the world together. I'm Dr. Lee Warren, and I'm here to help you change your mind so you can change your life. Let's get after it.
Thanks, Lisa. Hey, listen, yesterday we talked about this Haggah idea, this meditate on scripture like Harvey and Lewis do over a bone, like a lion does over its prey, this sort of, and I thought of another kind of way to say it. You know, sometimes when you put something in your mouth, like for me, it would be like something salty. I'm kind of a salty, savory guy, but also love vanilla ice cream because I'm not a godless savage. No, I'm just kidding. There are people, this might surprise you, there are people who put fruit and nuts in their ice cream. This may shock you, right? But, you know, I'm just always going to shoot straight with you. There are people who do that. So those of us who, you know, are true believers, we know that vanilla ice cream is the one God intended for us to eat. But sometimes when I am, I'm totally joking, please don't write in and tell me pecan praline or putting peaches in your ice cream is the best way to do it. It's okay. We can disagree on that. I'm right, but we can disagree. I'm just teasing. So anyway, listen, friend, we talked yesterday about this idea of kind of gnawing on a bone, like how a dog just sort of enjoys it and spends time with it and doesn't just wolf it down, but also doesn't just carry it around and show it to people either. So, you know, there's people who come to church with their Bibles and make a big show of how they've got this big Bible and they're writing in it and highlighting in it and all that. But then when they leave church, they toss it in the back seat and they don't see it again until the next week. Right, so it's a social thing. It's a show thing for some of those people, and this idea couldn't be more opposite of that. This idea is spending so much time with the Word that becomes kind of part of you, that you ingest it and you eat it and you savor it and you spend time with it. And sometimes when I'm eating ice cream or something, you've done this before too. You just kind of relax and you're having a good time with your friends or your family or sitting out by the river or you're at a picnic or whatever, and you just, the sun's on your face and you take a bite of something and it just hits you so perfectly and you kind of close your eyes and you go, right? That just sort of sound comes out of you because you're enjoying, you're delighting in what you're ingesting, right? And that's the idea behind this Haggah, is this you're savoring it, right? You're letting that lozenge just kind of dissolve, that hard candy kind of dissolve into your mouth over time. And it's delicious. So yesterday we talked about Ezekiel had to eat the word, and John in Revelation had to eat the word, and the prophecies were about how the word was going to taste sweet in their mouth, but it was going to turn bitter in their stomach. And I told you that sometimes that metaphor kind of relates to the idea that the word can be bitter because people don't want to hear it, right? Well, sometimes that can be because we don't want to hear it. And I read a story, a guy wrote a little blog post online today, of a guy who said he had brushed his teeth, and then he went to the refrigerator and he saw his wife had picked some strawberries out of the garden. And he thought, oh man, this strawberry is going to be delicious. And he popped a strawberry into his mouth and took a bite, but he forgot that he had just brushed his teeth. And you know, you probably had that experience where right after you brush your teeth, nothing tastes right. So you hit this big, fresh, garden, homegrown strawberry into this mouth that was full of the minty kind of pepperminty flavor of toothpaste, and he said it was disgusting. Like, he had to spit the strawberry out because it was so disgusting. But the point he made was there was nothing wrong with the strawberry. The strawberry was sweet and perfect as it was designed to be, but it was the mouth that wasn't ready. It was the ingester. It was the person eating the strawberry that wasn't ready for the sweetness, right? And that can be true of the word. It can be true of any kind of good information, good news. Sometimes somebody, a friend of yours, telling you something that you really need to hear, but you don't want to hear it because you don't want to face the fact that your friend is right or your spouse is right. I mean, husbands never do that, by the way. We never don't want to hear when our wife is right and we're wrong. We always want to receive that good word. Now, obviously, that's said in sarcasm a little bit. Some men, maybe some women too, just don't want to hear it. They won't admit that they were wrong. And sometimes that's how the word hits us, right? It's sweet. There's nothing wrong with the word, but we've got something in our life that doesn't jive up with what we're hearing. And the word challenges us. The word becomes a stumbling block, as Jesus said. The word becomes something that we'll trip over because we don't want to face the fact that it's calling us to something higher and something better. Now, why am I saying that? I'm just giving you some information, friend, that in life you need some. You need something and someone who will challenge you to do it right, who will challenge you to get back inside the guardrails if you've strayed out a little bit, who will challenge you to be willing to speak up when something needs to happen differently. That's what's happening in our society right now, right? These parents in Dallas that were on TV the other day that took their little kids, their kindergartners, to a strip club to watch a drag show, right? That somebody needs to speak up in those people's lives and say that, folks, despite what's happening in our society, that's not right. Like, you should not let your kids be exposed to that thing. I'm not talking about being mean to anybody or not accepting anybody or not anything like that, but little kids have no business being exposed to adult sexual things. It's wrong, right? So somebody in those people's lives ought to be speaking up, but they don't want to hear it. And so I'm just saying, I'm not trying to make a political point here. I'm saying sometimes we don't want to hear the good words that are really sweet, and we should want to hear them, but they don't taste right because we got something else in our life that's making us not taste them properly, right? Well, there's another scripture, Jeremiah 15:16. When your words came to me, I ate them. They were my joy and my heart's delight, for I bear your name, O Lord God. Jeremiah had a scroll made. He and his friend made a scroll to teach the word, copied the word down to share it with other people, and then Jeremiah ate it. So, funny story in Jeremiah 15. You should check it out. But the point is, Jeremiah wanted not just to preach the word, not just to kind of be familiar with it and know it. He wanted to put it inside him. He wanted to ingest it. I'm not telling you to eat your Bible. I'm not telling you to cut the pages out and chew them up and swallow them. It's metaphor, okay? The prophets did it in a demonstrative way to show people that you need to have the word inside you if it's going to do you any good. You need to have it internalized and really know about it. And that's the whole concept, the connotation behind Haggah. Okay, I'm not a biblical scholar, but I'm just trying to make this point that we're talking about D-Day and we're talking about the war in June, right? D-Day was June 6th, and I told you, when you hit that beach, the enemy is going to fight back, right? When you're trying to break through, when you're trying to take the ground that God has called you to, there's going to be a fight, and in order to get through that fight, you need to have your body armor, you need to have your kit, you need to have your weapons, you need to have your bullets, you need to have all that stuff inside you, but you also need your fuel. You need your MREs, as we had in the military, the meals ready to eat. We always deployed with food with us because you're going to need food, and the food that's going to sustain you for the fight that's coming in your life, my friend, is the word. Here's an old song from Amy Grant called Thy Word.
unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid and think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside. You are near, please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my
good one. I hadn't heard that song in years until I remembered it this morning as I was preparing this thought process for you today. Hey, let me remind you, my friend Weldon Lister has started a new company called American Scroll. Really cool apparel based on his art, as his work as a master engraver. Let me just tell you about it real quick. Here's American Scroll. Hey, Weldon, tell us about it.
Hey, folks, this is Weldon Lister with American Scroll, and we're a proud sponsor of the Dr. Lee Warren podcast. You might ask, well, what is American Scroll? And I would say, hey, we're an apparel brand that's based on the scroll art that I've developed as a master engraver. You can find more about American Scroll and see our products at AmericanScroll.com or UncleSy.com. And as a special for the Dr. Lee Warren podcast listeners, just use Dr. Lee at checkout and you'll get 20% off. Thanks and have a great day.
Thanks, Weldon. Hey, listen, we're talking about the fight that's coming, okay? The enemy would be fine if you just sat back in the United States or sat back in England or sat back, you know, in Canada and didn't bring the fight to them in France. The enemy would be fine with that. I mean, they were going to do some bombing and do some threats and all that, but they really weren't going to try to take the U.S. They really weren't going to try to invade Canada. They knew that wasn't going to happen. But they were not going to bring the fight to us. We had to bring the fight to them if we wanted to liberate Europe. We had to go. The Allies had to get together, and on D-Day, it was go time, right? We talked about that. And they had to have their kit. Those soldiers had to have their kits ready. They had to have their stuff together. And part of the stuff that they had to have was their meals, their food. And so remember in the Old Testament, in the Promised Land, when the God had promised the people that he was going to give them the land, and he said, when you go into the land, you're going to have to take the ground. The enemies aren't just going to surrender their homes without a fight, right? You're going to have some battles ahead, friend. In World War II, there was the beach, and then there was the hedgerows, and then there was city after city after city, and then there was the Battle of the Bulge before they finally acclaimed victory. There was a lot more fighting to do. And that's what's going to happen with us. When you think that you've got it all together, when you think that you finally are ready to go and take the ground that God's called you to, you're going to have to admit to yourself that that ground will not come without some battles. Those battles might look like cancer. They might look like losing a child. They might look like going through some trouble in your relationships. They might look like financial hardship or another pandemic or who knows what. But the battles will come, okay? They're going to come. And so you need to be ready to fight the battle by having the proper stuff inside you to give you the fuel and the energy that you need and the wisdom that you need and the discernment that you need. And that comes, my friend, from the Word. Here's another song from Mercy Me called Word of God Speak, one of my favorites, Mercy Me.
Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. You pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice.
I'm going to read Psalm 34. I've done this before. Psalm 34 is my go-to psalm. It's my go-to scripture when I'm having any kind of issue in my life, when I'm trying to remember that God's promises are true, when I'm trying to understand what's happening. I go to Psalm 34. Why do I do that? I go to Psalm 34 because for me, it has everything I need in there. It's got all the stuff that I need to navigate whatever might be happening in my life. And so I'm going to give you Psalm 34. There's a song from a guy named Bill Cooley. It's an Irish Celtic acoustic guitar song, Isle of Inishmore. And I'm going to play that over Psalm 34 and just kind of meditate. This is just a model of how you can read scripture. Put some music behind you, read the scripture, chew on it, gnaw on it, think about it, let it be there all day for you, and it'll help. Just trust me. Here's Psalm 34:18 with Bill Cooley giving us some background music to learn how to kind of haggah over the scripture. Here we go. Sorry, not just 34:18, but the whole chapter. Here's Psalm 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants. No one who takes refuge in him will be condemned. That's my scripture, friend. That's the one I go to when I just need some information, some bullets to shoot at whatever's coming along in my life. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. It's just perfect. That's a great psalm. Psalm 34. I'm just giving you some fuel, okay? I'm just giving you some tools. We're going to have some battles. We're going to talk about some of them later this month. We're going to have some things that come along that are hard. We're going to need to engage the full weight and power of the brains that God gave us. I'm going to teach you some things about how your neuroscience works so you'll be empowered. But the prehab part is about ingesting and practicing and preparing and getting stronger and having some stuff to shoot at. That's why I said yesterday about make sure that in all the things that you read and all the things that you listen to and all the things that you put your eyes and your heart and your time on, make sure some of it is good stuff. Some of it is stuff that will actually benefit you in some way. There's nothing wrong with reading science fiction or romance or thrillers or anything. There's nothing wrong with that as long as the content is pure, right? But you need some things that will actually sharpen and improve your mind and give you some ammo and some power for your life. Not just a story, a fanciful tale to tickle your ears. You need something that's going to get in there and become part of your nerve endings. And that's what the whole Eat This Book idea is about. It's about getting some stuff inside you that will prepare you for the fight that you're going to face, that will come back to mind. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Jesus said he will remind you of all truth. He can't remind you of something you didn't hear before, right? So you need to put it in your body. One more song for you. Of course, it wouldn't be appropriate for me to do a long conversation about the Word of God if I didn't have my friend and my personal worship pastor, Tommy Walker, sing to us. And he's going to sing one of his very old songs, Thy Word Will Be the Last Word. Your word will be the last word. God's word, friend, in the end is going to be the last word. And what he says is going to go. And you need to get it inside you. And you need to start today.
Your word will be the last word. Your promises will stand forevermore. Man's thoughts and all his plans will come to an end, but your word will be the last word. Your word is says I'm forgiven. Your covenant says you will always be with me. And though some may scoff and write me off, your word will be the last word. Your word is my guiding light. Promises guide me in the deepest, darkest night. Though troubles come and go, in my heart I'll always know your word be the last word. Man in all his wisdom, all his foolish pride, puts his hope in only things he can see with his eyes. And claiming to be wise, they became as fools instead. But Lord, I'm banking all my faith in the truths of what you say. And evermore, man's thoughts and plans, they will come to an end. But your word will be the last word. Your word be the last word.
Hey, I hope this was helpful. Get you some word inside you, my friend, and start today. Hey, thanks for listening. The Dr. Lee Warren podcast is listener supported. Check out patron.podbean.com/Dr. Lee Warren. That's patron.podbean.com/Dr. Lee Warren. Patrons and partners get free books, transcripts, special patron only episodes, and more. And partners like you allow us to stay ad free and keep growing. Please subscribe to the show so you automatically get every episode. And if you like the show, you'll love my weekly letter. Check out my writing at drleewarren.substack.com. drleewarren.substack.com. Get the free newsletter every week for my best prescriptions for becoming healthier, feeling better, and being happier through the power of faith and neuroscience smashing together via self-brain surgery. drleewarren.substack.com. And if you need prayer, go to the prayer wall at wleewarrenmd.com/prayer. The theme music for the show is Make Us One by Tommy Walker, graciously provided for free by the great folks over at tommywalkerministries.org. Check it out and consider supporting them. tommywalkerministries.org. Remember, you can't change your life until you change your mind. And the good news is you can start today. I'm Dr. Lee Warren. I'll talk to you soon. God bless you, friend. Have a great day.